Well, good morning. Nice to see you here today. Connie, our children's pastor, her husband Archie, and Arlene and I were able to go and attend the wedding yesterday between Mike Andrews and Rachel. I want to show you a picture here. Mike is our college minister here at the church, works with CSF across the street at Penn State. And remember a few weeks ago he told you he was going to wear his Converse tennis shoes? You can see them just a little bit right there. He actually wore them in his wedding. It was awesome. You know, it was so, not funny, but they had a power outage and the church didn't have any power. Okay? The church didn't have any windows in it and they couldn't get it back on. So they actually did the wedding kind of in almost darkness. They lit some candles and opened a few doors and got a little bit of light in, but it was really neat because Rachel and Mike just, they were just so resilient. And, you know, somebody said, well, let's just get married in the dark then. And it was beautiful. I did want to tell you, though, that's her dad there walking her down the aisle. It was so interesting because I didn't notice that piece of paper in his hand when he was coming down. But I found out later when he gave her away that was a letter that he had written to Rachel years ago when he was in the army. And he worried that he might be killed and not come home. And he wrote her a letter many years ago for her wedding day. So he actually read this letter to Rachel, his daughter, during the wedding ceremony. A letter he'd written years ago hoping that he wouldn't miss it, but just in case something happened. And I'll just tell you, I made a scene. Arlene had to get up and go get a box of Kleenexes. I was just a blubbering, being a father, having daughters, you know, it was beautiful. And it was just a great, great day. And they'll be here, they'll be back home this week. And so hopefully next week you'll be able to wish them a happy, happy marriage. All right, let's jump right in here and talk about our new series that we started last week entitled Closing the Distance. You know, we've been talking about how you getting close and staying close to God. And I want to begin today with this idea of understanding who God is. You know, we know the Bible says God is love, right? But who is God to you? You know, how would you describe God? I made some notes here. I said, you know, I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, some people look at God as a wonder to behold. You know, have you ever traveled or seen any of the great wonders of the world? You know, you go to the Grand Canyon and what's your experience? You're like, man, this is incredible. You know, some people kind of look at God. They just think he's a wonder to behold. You know, something to be in awe of. Something to wonder, how in the world did this ever come to be? Some people look at God that way. Other people look at God as a place of beauty to visit. You know, like a beautiful mountain or a beautiful valley or a waterfall. And when you go and see those kinds of things, and I've traveled and seen some of those, and I'm sure you have too. And what's the thought you always have when you visit something that's beautiful? You think, you know what, I want to come back here. This was wonderful. I can't believe that I've never seen. I had this experience a few years ago with the Grand Canyon of Pennsylvania. You ever been there? Two of you. Some more of you need to get out and check this out. You know, I remember when I saw this, you know, just a couple hours north of us here, I'm thinking, this is incredible that something this beautiful is this close to me, and this is the first time that I've ever seen it. And when I saw it, it's like, man, I got to come back. I want to come back next fall when the leaves are changed. You know how many times I've been back? Some people are like that with God. He's just something beautiful to visit. And you want to come back. You want to see it again. But maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, some people look at God like an attraction to enjoy. You know, that God's like a thrill ride. God's like a roller coaster. God's like a hot air balloon ride. And it's exhilarating. It's fun. It's challenging. And then it's over. I mean, he's a thrilling experience, but is he something that we want to experience all the time or each and every day? You know, there's other people look at God like an enigma to wonder about. That God's just a giant question mark. He's a great enigma, but something that we could never understand because he's bigger than us, he's beyond us, he's grander than we can ever imagine. Therefore, we just let him hang out there, and I don't think we get to know him the way that he wants us to. How about you? What do you see in God? Who is God to you? Is he a wonder to behold? Someone to be in awe of? Is he a place of beauty that you visited wanting to go again? Is he an attraction that you enjoy? A thrilling experience that becomes ordinary and mundane? Or is he just a giant enigma to wonder about but to never understand? You see, God is out there and he is waiting for you and me to get close. You know, there's a little girl here in church. Her name is Gia. Her mother name is Jenna. Jenna and Patrick. And I saw this little girl a couple weeks ago in the back of her mother's car. She was in a car seat, and she had these big, big, giant blue eyes and this beautiful little blonde hair. And as she was there, I just kind of reached in, and she gave me a high five, and she told me hello. And as they drove away, I said to her mother, you know, I said, your kids are beautiful. I said, I know you usually come by and visit and say something to me after church. I said, you go downstairs and get your kids, you leave. I said, bring your kids up so that I can see them. I just love to, you know, interact with them a little bit. And so this next week, which was last week actually, Jenna came by and she said hello and she went downstairs. And I wasn't thinking, but all of a sudden, here comes little Gia through the door. And she runs over to me and she said, my mother told me to come and give you a hug. And I gave her a hug. It was beautiful. This past week, I actually came over to the preschool, and she's in our preschool, and they were standing in line ready to come out the door, and I saw her there, and I said, hello, Gia, how are you? And she said, I'm fine. And she gave me a hug and gave me a high five, and as I walked off, I heard her say to the little boy there with her, that's Pastor John. And as I walked down the hall, I couldn't help but think about those 2 weeks. And how joyous it was to just interact with that beautiful child. Now, she's been here and she will be here, but those 2 weeks. And I just started thinking about God, how great he is, how good he is, how beautiful he is, that he's not just a wonder to behold or a place of beauty to visit or an attraction to enjoy or an enigma to wonder about. But he's there waiting for me to have a beautiful and wonderful relationship with him. And when we take him up on that, how great it is. You see, this whole idea about closing the distance is about getting close and staying close. You know, finding God and experiencing God and then staying there and enjoying that. You know, most of our life is looking and understanding who God is and learning who he is and appreciating who he is and then experiencing that wonderful thing we call salvation, redemption, sanctification, and then enjoying our whole life in just being a part of that. You see, folks, it's all about getting close, but then it's also about staying close. I mean, have you ever had a relationship that is broken, beyond repair? I mean, have you ever had a friend that's not a friend anymore? How many of you ever enjoyed the company of someone that you just loved and cared about, and then all of a sudden, regardless of the reasons why, they're not there anymore? You see, that's the way we are sometimes with God. We get close, we experience him, we learn of his love, we experience his joy. And then for whatever reason, we don't stay there. I love this passage of scripture, Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Look at what it says. It says, some women were watching from a distance. Now you do know what's going on here, right? Jesus has just, in the previous couple of verses, he has breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple has been torn. And Jesus has died. And then it describes that there were some women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. It says, in Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. Then, and this is later on in verse 46, after Jesus has been taken from the cross, after Joseph has taken his body to be buried, it says, then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, and Mary Magdalene, same ladies, and Mary the mother of Joseph, they saw where he was laid. Now look at this passage and just realize what's going on. It says they're watching from a distance. It says when they saw them put the stone in front of the tomb, that they saw where he was laid, but they weren't right there. They weren't up close. And I wonder why. I mean, they were followers of Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. Matter of fact, if you think about this scripture a little closer, it talks about two different Marys and then a lady named Salome. And the two different Marys, one of them is Mary Magdalene. Now, what do we know about Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was mentioned 12 times in the New Testament, more than many of the apostles in the scripture. She was a follower of Jesus. She witnessed Jesus' crucifixion. She witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. She was there on that first Easter morning. She was blessed with the beautiful experience of being the first one to proclaim that Jesus Christ was alive, to go and to tell the disciples that he was alive and that he was going to appear to them in Galilee. Luke tells us that this Mary Magdalene had seven demons that had gone out of her. Mark tells us that Jesus cast these demons out of her. Pretty beautiful life, although she had a very difficult beginning. But her life changed when she followed Jesus. Now, I'm not here to speculate on what exactly kept these women at a distance, but they were watching from a distance. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, she's also listed as one of the people who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. Now, here's the thing about it, though. These ladies that went to the tomb that first Easter, they were convinced that Jesus was dead and not alive. They did not go expecting a resurrection, although that's what they experienced. Salome is another one here, and she was listed as one of the women at the tomb as well. But here's the thing. They followed from a distance. Why do some people keep God at a distance? Why do some people keep God at a distance? Why do some people see God's handiwork and then not understand or experience what God has done? Why do some people experience God's goodness, feel God's grace, feel the warmth of His love, and then make the choice to keep Him at a distance? I mean, I'm sure that it's fear of retaliation. It's fear of the powers that are at play. I'm sure it's the devil whispering in our ear not to stay close. But for whatever reason, these folks stayed at a distance. So let me ask you, why do you stay at a distance? You know, I'm not going to assume that all of us here today are as close to God as we should be, or as close to God as we once were, or as close to God as we know we ought to be. Because we kind of drift in and out of that closeness, don't we? Sometimes we feel as close can be. Other times we feel very distant. We feel weak. Sometimes we can take on the devil. And other times a rowdy neighbor scares us to death, right? That's the way we are. So what keeps people at a distance? What makes us choose to stay away and not remain close to God? Well, let me give you some things that you need to remember. And as you remember these things, I think that they will help you close the distance. It'll help us stay close to God. Number one is that we have to remember that He's the one that invites us to come. that we are not close to God because of our own initiative, but that He invites us to come and to be close to Him. Let me remind you of a couple of passages of Scripture. Jesus said what? He said, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and who are heavy laden, who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You see, that's His invitation. His invitation is to come to Him. So as we come, we're not here on our own accord. We're not here at our own strength, but we're here because He invites us to come. But not only does He invite us to come, He compels us to stay. You see, He invites us into His presence, and then He gives us all of this wonderful teaching about what we will gain by staying there and what we can lose if we choose not to. You know, that He will always be with us. He will always protect us. He will always help us. But if we choose not to, then we will be pursued by the devil relentlessly. You see, folks, it's in the presence of God, it's in the closeness that we have with Him that offers us the strength that we need in life. But here's the thing, folks. What's the proof? What's the proof that we are close to Him, that we've closed the distance, and that we're not just getting close to Him, but we're remaining close to Him? That we're getting close and we're staying close. Well, it's not in what we say we believe, but it's in how we live each day. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that subtle difference in the Bible, that when the Bible talks about what a Christian looks like, what a believer looks like, it talks about how we should love one another, that the world will know that we're Christians by the love that we have for each other, that we do good to those that hurt us, persecute us, that we love and care about our enemies, that we don't desire to be first, but we choose to be last. He always talks about all these things that prove that we are a part of His kingdom. But yet in some way, we convince ourselves that what really makes us a Christian is what we believe. Notice that subtle difference? In the New Testament, it's not what you believe or say what you believe, but it's in how you live. It's in the fruits of your life. You see, I can say, you know what, I have closed the distance. I am close to God. Well, really, you know what? The proof is in how we live. You know, sometime back, I was asked to perform a wedding here for a friend. Actually, it wasn't somebody from the church. The wedding wasn't here. It was at a venue here locally, and I agreed that I would do that to help this person out. And I met with this couple, and in them filling out the information, they talked about their faith. And they talked about the ceremony, and they wanted this particular part of the ceremony to be really, really religious. And then when I was talking to them, I noticed some things. It was, you know, they filled out the form, and they obviously were living together, cohabitating together, which I think is never a good idea before you're married. It's just not. It's disobedient to God. You know, and as they were talking about this, you know, it's like, okay, you know, well, where do you guys attend church? Well, we don't go to church, okay? You know, and then we're talking about the ceremony, this one particular part of the ceremony about this prayer and what their response was going to be. It's like, oh, we can't do that. And it was like over and over and over again. Now, I don't want to pass judgment on them because I don't know very much more about their life, but I do know this. The proof of whether or not we are close to God, whether or not we've ever gotten close, whether or not we're staying close, is not what I say with my lips, but how I live my life. And whether or not the actions of my life back up what I'm saying I believe. It's a subtle difference in our world today, but we have to know that we are not close to God just because we say we're close to God. We're close to God by the evidence that we see in our lives each and every day. So the promise of God is that if we will draw close to Him, that He will draw close to us, to you, and to me. You see, that's the promise of God. But here's the thing, folks. God will only come so far. And then we have to come. We have to close that distance. The beautiful story of the prodigal son, how the son went off and lived his life. And the father every day longed for his son to come home. And it said that every day the father would go out and he would look down the road. But he would only go so far because the son had to do his part in closing that distance, as you and I have to do. That God will long for us. The Bible said that He will invite us, that He will compel us, that He will say, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." He will say, "I stand at the door and knock." And anyone who opens that door, have you ever noticed that? Christ comes, He knocks, He desires to come in and do life with us, but we must open the door. God will only come so far, and then we have to take that next step. But here's the thing, folks. It is a step that you will never regret if you choose to take it. I mean, those of you that are here this morning and listen to me, and you've been a believer for a long time, and you've drawn close to God, you've not only gotten close, but you've stayed close. I know without a shadow of a doubt that every person here would say, you know what? It's a choice that I've never, ever regretted. And you understand that many of the joys of your life, many of the blessings that you've experienced have come about because of that closeness that you have experienced in God. And listen, folks, when we do that, it is a choice that we will never regret. It's not that life will be perfect. It's not that all your problems will go away. But God will be there. God will help you every day of your life. You know, yesterday, at Mike and Rachel's wedding, I snapped this selfie. Here, I'll show it to you. Oh my gosh, that's bigger than I ever thought. Holy smokes. I'm going to make an appointment with the dermatologist tomorrow. Anyway, I took this picture. And then on our way home, and maybe you saw this, I put this picture on my Facebook page. And it just simply said, here's my date for the wedding. And Arlene was driving when I did that, and I put it up there. And then we stopped and got gas, and then I drove. And unbeknownst to me, she posted the exact same picture and said, "This is my date for the wedding." Now, I didn't know she did that. She didn't know I did that. Did anybody see both of them? Okay, if you look at the time frame, there's only like 2 or 3 minutes apart from when we posted those pictures. And I was looking at hers and I was laughing, and she's like, "What are you laughing at?" And then I told her, I said, "Well, I posted the exact same picture with the exact same comment at the exact same time." But you know what, folks? Isn't it great when you love somebody so much, and when you've gotten so close to them that you can finish their sentences, that you can think their thoughts, that you can even complete their good works, or encourage yourself to be like them? You see, I feel that way about her. But being close to God, drawing close to Him. Okay, take the picture off. I've seen that enough. Thank you. It's back there too. That's why I'm saying that, okay? Yeah. But being close to God and closing that distance to where you can think His thoughts, finish His sentences, and complete His good work, it's a beautiful thing. And if you don't feel like that you're that close to God, Or maybe you feel like that you were that close to God, but you're not now. All it takes is a moment in time. And say, you know what, God, I don't want to just follow you from a distance. Because these ladies, they eventually got it. They came out of the shadows and served and loved God probably the rest of their lives. But folks, I want to do that, and I'm sure that you do too. Because when we do, wow, that's the life that God wants us to live. But know that we are here because He invites us, because He compels us, and because it's not just about what we say we believe, but how we live each day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you today for being that Father who does your great work to close the distance between us and you. But that, Lord, you don't come the whole way. You won't force us to get close or stay close to you. But God, you come close enough that we can see you, that we can see your handiwork, that we can see your work in other people's lives, that we can experience, Lord, what it's like to be close to you. We can feel the warmth of your Spirit and the challenge of obedience to you. But then, Lord, may we finish to close that distance. May we come all the way into your presence. And then stay there, Lord, for a lifetime. And stay there, Lord, to such a degree that we can, that we think like you, Lord, and that we go where you go and where you want us to go, and that we complete your good works in the lives of other people, Lord, that we bless others, that it feels like that your presence is here because we're here and because we are so close to you. So, Lord, compel us to live that kind of life and then use us, Lord. And may the world believe in you, not because of what we say we believe, but in how we live and how we show your love to others. God, encourage us to be all of that and more as we sing this song and as we declare our need for you, our desire to know you. And may your Spirit, Lord, envelop our heart, our soul and our mind and our spirit. And may it be, Lord, as being so close to you that the world can't tell where you end and where we begin, but that, God, you just live and breathe and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord.